Praise God for you guys. Wonderful. Before you take your seats, put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for marking me with your fatherhood. Take away every scar. Take away every hurt. Every bad memory of bad or absent fatherhood, and replace it with the presence of your spirit, that the scars of yesterday may become the seals of tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Please take your seats, and if you have your Bible, would you open them to, let's have a look here. Mark, the fifth chapter. It's great celebrating fatherhood and Father's Day. You know, my wife used to, when she was telling our son and daughter off, she would say, you know, you've got to be good to me. I carried you for 9 months. So I thought I would try that, but it didn't quite work, you know, because I look at my kids and I say, I carried you for 9 days. Anyway, that's a gynecological joke, but we'll move on. Praise God. This week is a major, major decision week for the UK. Really, really important one. So whichever way you're voting, you must pray. You must pray before you vote, and you must vote by faith. Add your faith to your vote, and it will accelerate your vote. Can you say amen? Very, very important. But turn to your neighbor and tell him it's decision time. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him it's decision time. In fact, if you're sitting near Ronke, slap her in revenge for all the time she tells you to slap your neighbor, and tell her it's decision time. Praise God. I want to talk to you today about the power of a decision. How important it is to decide something. And when you've decided something, that you don't change or variate from your decision. Now, that means that your decisions have got to be based on the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And if you get that wrong, then you bump into God during the way. And you don't want to do that, trust me. He's a good father, but he's also a terrible one. That's what they said in Israel. Great and terrible is the Lord. I was singing that to the Lord this morning. And it sounded kind of strange because we often, because we're sons, we're covered under the blood of Jesus, we often don't see, thank God, the terrible side of God. You know, but the Bible says in the book of Romans, it says God is great and fearful. Do you see what I'm saying? So we must love God, but we've also got to fear him. So when we make our decisions in life, we've got to make sure our decisions are good, that they are solid, that they are valid. One of the stories that we're going to look at today, it's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible, because it's about a woman who made a decision that really she didn't consult anyone. She probably didn't even consult the Word of God, because unless you're some Greek Hebrew scholar or some, you know, weird and fanciful theologian who's never been outside their front door for the last 30 years, you probably never find any sort of significance or ramifications in the Bible that you'd find for. Because the decision that she made was concerning her illness. The Bible says there was a woman who had an issue of blood, a hemorrhage, who for 12 years was sick. And she sought the physicians, and rather than getting better, she grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she said, or some Bible translations say, she said in her heart, and that's a very important part of this decision-making process. She said, if I just as much as touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Well, you imagine now that you are the Jerusalem Herald, right? You're a reporter with the Jerusalem Herald. You're going to go to this woman's house and you're going to interview her through her window, because it's illegal for her to come outside of her front door. She is ritually unclean. A woman with a blood hemorrhage is ritually unclean, right? So she's not able to get outside her front door. So you're from the Jerusalem Herald. You knock on the door and you say, oh, thou woman with the issue of blood. You like my King James English there. Oh, thou woman with the issue of blood. Tell forsooth what hath happened thee. Yes, please, wench, telleth me. Okay, and so you knock on the thing and she says, right. She says, I made a decision. If I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, then I'll be made well. Well, pray tell, where did that decision come from? Which chapter and verse? You see, we can read her story in Mark. She couldn't turn to the book of Mark. Mark was a teenager running around at the time that this woman was healed of the issue of blood, because he went around gathering the stories and the testimonies after. So she couldn't turn to Mark 5 like we can turn to and read her story. She couldn't turn to the Old Testament because there's nothing there. You know, Jesus is all over the Old Testament, but he's there in a type and in a shadow. But somehow she made this decision. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's decision time. And she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Right? So now, if you're the Jerusalem, but lady, please stay in your house. It doesn't make sense. What you're saying is nonsense. You've obviously been out in the moon or like become a lunatic or you've been had too much sun. You know, you've been sunbathing too much. The sun's got to your head or you've been, what do they call it in Ghana? Ogidigi. That you've been drinking too much ogidigi. If you don't know what ogidigi is, then God bless you. What do they call it in Kenya? Muratina. Changa. Oh my gosh, that stuff. If you're not blind before you drink it. Whoo, brother. Right. Now, yeah, they call it poutine in Ireland. If you ever go to Ireland, you know, it's like horrible stuff. Moonshine, if you're in sort of outback America, Kentucky. Anyone seen that Moonshine Runners program? Yeah, terrible. I mean, these guys, they lost all their teeth. They got one eye, no sense. I mean, and they're still making this stuff and drinking it, right? But you see, this is the thing. The woman has made this decision. Right? She has decided. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you read the whole of that story, and I encourage you, in fact, why don't we just go there and we'll run through it really quick because it's such a powerful story, right? Here we go. Verse 25 of Mark 5. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured, you know what? Let's put it in the King James. I like this. The oldest King James Version that you have here. I'm feeling a bit sort of regal today. Old KJV. There you go. And had suffered many things at the hand of physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Carry on. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Do you know what the press is? That's not the news media. That's the crowd. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Keep going. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press. Now wait there, and said, who touched my clothes? Now, this is the interesting thing about that story, right? The word of God had little or nothing to do with that woman's decision. If we read this, you can tell that Jesus Christ of Nazareth had little or nothing to do with that miracle. Interesting, isn't it? Can you see the power of a decision? You see, that woman was inspired by the Spirit of God, whether or not she knew that was the source of her inspiration. Right? How much more us? When the word of God says that we can be saved from our sins. Revelation 1:5, to him who cleansed us from our sins and washed us in his own blood. How much more? I remember when I decided to get saved. 31st of August, 1984, I made a decision right then. I am going to be saved. God literally scared the hell out of me. In that encounter, literally, road to Damascus job, right? Now, There are other things, I want to come to them later, but I want to get this into your heart. I want to get it into your mind, because there's certain decisions that you can make where you decide something, it is once and for all and forever. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, and Daniel purposed in his heart. What's that? It's a decision. We would say in modern day vernacular, and Daniel decided. He made a root decision in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's choicest stuff. What was that? That was a decision. He didn't know back then the ramifications of his decision. He didn't know fully where that decision would lead him, but it took him all the way up to the number two in Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. It took him all the way into the intercessory realms of the spirit, where he could stand before God on a nation that when freedom was due to Israel and there was no freedom coming, that he could call on the Lord of hosts and God would send an angel to liberate Israel once again from the hand of the Babylonians. If you know anything about history, that's what happened through the book of Daniel. Amazing stuff. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's decision time. There's some quality decisions that really can have little or nothing to do with, you know, like Jesus can tap you on the shoulder and say, sunshine, I want you to decide this. Or you of your own volition, you as a free will being can make those decisions. I remember that the day that I decided that I wouldn't be sick anymore. Well, Pastor P, that's a bit proud of you. That's a bit arrogant. Actually, no, it's a bit Bible. You're quiet. I decided. I made a decision in January 1989 that I wouldn't be sick anymore. Pastor P, you never get, sickness tries to come on me. Sickness will always try to come and visit. You think when Jesus laid hands on the lepers, you don't think that that leprosy tried to enter his body? Huh? Of course. The devil's an opportunist. He's a sneak. He dwells in the realm of ambiguity. If I thought for one second that God wouldn't back me in my battle against sickness, I would never, ever have made that decision. Never. Well, God sometimes permits. No, he doesn't. Not in my case. But Pastor P, how can you say that? I've made a decision. I've made the decision that if there was only one human being on planet Earth that would get healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's Pastor P. Hallelujah. You're even quieter. Slap Sister Ronke and tell her, neighbor! Yeah, nudge your neighbor and tell him, it's decision time. There's times... to make decisions. The Bible says among the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of the heart. There's some heart searching that you can do, and there's some decisions that you can make. And as a result of those decisions, the course of your life can be mapped. Hallelujah. I fight sickness all the time, but my decision stands. As for Pastor P, surely he bore my griefs. Now, you know, when you say it in America, they say, oh, surely that can't happen. They say, yeah, it can happen, and my name's not Shirley. Because Shirley, you know the way they say the name Shirley, right? Listen to me. Shirley isn't a woman's name in the Bible. You understand? So you can't say, surely he bore our griefs. Sure. Surely. How do they say it in Ibadan? Sister Ibi. Surely. For sure. For sure, surely he bore my griefs. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. Hang on then, if he carried them, then why am I carrying them? For God to expect me to carry my griefs and my sorrows, my sicknesses and diseases, is a miscarriage of justice. Hmm. surely, listen to that, but listen to the power of the certainty that backs you when you make a decision to become the healed and not the sick. Listen to the power. Oh, maybe he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. If that's the kind of decision that you make, then God help you. As my friend Mike Brown said once in Texas, he said, just go find some corner and die. Hey, I wouldn't say that now. I'm gentle, Pastor P, meek and mild. Hallelujah. That was my friend said it. You can find him in Georgetown, Texas. Hallelujah. Yeah, this decision-making thing is a big one. Hell can come against you. The devil can come against you. All manner of sickness and disease can try to come against you. I remember when we were in the Mass, I was with Pastor Temi and Mary, and we were in some van, and a teacher who was one of the teachers in the Maasai land took us to this traditional village, and the guys saw us coming. And there was some guy chewing it. And now there's certain people, when they stand near me, if they don't have a right spirit, I can zone in on that spirit. I can, like, you know what, something just ain't right here. Do you see what I mean? What's that song? There's something going on around here. What it is ain't exactly clear. It's that kind of something not quite. You ever meet someone like that? Just nudge them, nudge the person next to you and make sure they're not a suspect this morning. Yeah. That's what they call them, the suspect. You know, a suspect. This guy was a suspect. And as we were going, he was chewing something like that. As we were going, he uttered some words in Maasai and went, like that, and a little spit came out of his mouth and landed on my neck just then. And you know what? My health, from that moment on, my health started to go downhill. For 2.5 weeks, I was fighting off some kind of sickness. But I knew the source. Say the source. I knew that it was some kind of source, because I'd felt that spirit, some kind of sorcery that the guy was trying to put on me. So when you make a decision to be the healed and not the sick, it doesn't mean like your life's battle-free and, you know, you go on a cruise and sit on a lounger and they bring you like tequila and all that. Forget it. When you make a decision like that, you're becoming a witness for Jesus Christ in a realm that the devil doesn't want you to operate in. The realm of healing, he doesn't want you to operate in. And I fought that thing for 2.5 weeks. But you know what? I heard one demon talking to another about me. Is your name known in hell? Hallelujah. Yeah, do you remember the 7 sons of Sceva? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Well, you can add now Pastor P, I know. You understand? I hope you're reading your Bible. Right. Now, When I heard these demons, they said, I don't like going against him and his household. He doesn't fight fair. That's what I heard. Ooh, I'm preaching this morning to human beings, to principalities, powers. Hallelujah to Jesus. I love this stuff. If I can get one decision into you today, it can change the course of your life for the better. It's all about the decisions. Tell to your neighbor and tell him it's decision time. See, now in the realm of the natural, we've got all this voting and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, November, there's more decisions. And there'll be other Greek and French and German and Dutch and God knows what decisions in the future and Spanish and all that kind of stuff. But the real decisions are the ones that you make in the realm of the spirit. Something happens in heaven when God sees something like that. God sends something supernatural when you make a decision like that. And this is what was happening with the woman with the issue of blood. You see, I saw this in the spirit. I saw her making a decision in the thing. I saw her acting out her decision. And as she touched the hem of his garment, the Holy Spirit said, "Oh, faith!" As fast as that. There's something about faith. Smith Wigglesworth put it this way. He said, there's something about faith. It will cause God to move over 1 million people just to land on your doorstep. May God find faith in your heart in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you study that thing. study the way she made that decision and study how heaven moved on her behalf and found her at her point of contact. For she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, something was going on right in the realm of her heart that changed heaven. Now, how much did Jesus Christ have to do with that miracle? He couldn't have had much to do with it because he himself was shocked. Who touched me? Ah, there's loads of people. No. Somebody made contact. A decision was made. Do you understand? Now, some of these decisions, God, I'll serve you. Come what may, I'll serve you. You remember what Job said? He said, though he slay me. Now, that's how little Job knew of God. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Right? But God isn't the taketh away. You read your Bible, the devil was the taketh away. He was calling God the devil. He was putting himself in the hands of Satan. And it took God 9 months. You read the whole book of Job. Took God 9 months and a load of waffle from his friends to turn that situation around. May you do yours in 9 seconds in the name of Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I decided that I wouldn't be poor. That was a wonderful day. You know, we sing that song, oh, happy day when Jesus washed. And it was a happy day. 31st of August, 1984 was a happy day. Hallelujah. In my cousin's kitchen. Remember it till the day I die. Jesus literally scared the hell out of me. But, you know, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus took, he took my poor away. Oh, happy day. Yeah. I remember the day. I was sitting under the ministry of Michael Bassett down in Finchley. That's why I love Michael Bassett so much. Some people, they don't like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Don't care. God gave me something through that man. He wrote a little book about this big, about that thick. And it was like, I don't know, it was a tenner or something. I thought, I did a Dugbe Hazan. You go shopping with Dugbe, everything's expensive. Hey, that's expensive. Somebody get Dugbe the tape. You can send it to him. I don't care. It's true. And I thought to my initial thing, I think it was £8 or something like that. My initial thing, when I turned the price tag around on the book, it said £8. I thought, £8 for this skinny little book. This, ooh, baby. It was called Expect the Best by Dr. Michael Anthony Bassett. And I read that thing. And he went through a Genesis to Revelation, just hop and skip scriptures. All about how God wants us to have the best, live in the best, drive the best, give the best, own the best, show off the best. That man can't see glory, but they can see wealth. And that's why wealth and glory are connected in the Bible. There's a connection there. And I remember the day that I wouldn't be poor anymore. It was a happy day, oh, happy day. I pray that you can make that same decision. Poverty, turn to your neighbor and tell him it's decision time. Now, tell your other neighbor, poverty sucks. And then turn back to your original neighbor and tell them, if you're sitting next to Ibby, slap her. Poverty sucks real bad. I remember, I said, God, I said, whatever it is that I have to do, whatever changes I need to make in my thinking, in my finances, in anything that I am or do, to outlive the covenant of prosperity that you have sworn to my father Abraham, whatever it is to bring that thing about, Lord, bring it about. You know what God started telling me to do? Give. See that guy over there? Don't know his name. Never seen him from Adam. Go and give him a tenner. He needs a tenner now. He's been at my altar and he needs a tenner. Now, for me, back then, earning £8,000 a year selling ties to dry cleaners, a tenner was a lot of money. In fact, my car broke down once. You want to hear poverty? Hey, Jesus. My car broke down. I was driving through the village of Barnes near Richmond. That's a posh place. The clutch cable snapped on my car. And I was revving the engine. There's nothing I could do. And literally, I'm driving. I said, God, what do I do? He said, turn left. So I turned left. There was a garage in on the left. My car literally rolled up onto the ramp of the mechanic's garage and stopped dead. And I got out of the car. I said, oh, my car's broken. I don't know what's wrong with you and what's wrong with it. And I chucked in the keys and I went for a cheese sandwich. By the time I got back from the cheese sandwich, the guy had fixed the car. 56 quid to fix a clutch cable on my car. It was such a nasty car. You know the Marylebone flyover? Everyone know that place? I drove up the Marylebone flyover and there was so much smoke coming. Now, this isn't like Shekinah glory come smoke. This is engine smoke. London disappeared from my rearview mirror. That's the truth as I live. But all these, you see, they're markers along the way. They're markers along the way that so that you can remember something. So that you can remember where you were when God blessed you. Where you were when you made the decision. You know what? I refuse to be sick anymore. I hate sickness the way that Jesus hated sickness. If you don't have a divine hatred for sickness, then you need to get one. By his stripes, the Bible says, 40 lashes minus one, we are healed. You need to see those things on his back and see his body like a furrowed field, like where a farmer has just gone through it with a plow. That's what Jesus' back looked like. That's the price he paid to carry your and my sicknesses. Matthew 8:17, our sicknesses he bore and our diseases he carried. So how dare the devil try and put sickness on you or me? What a miscarriage of justice in the heavenlies. God himself, if he's allowed his son to go through such a thing for our healing, God himself would be unjust to try and put sickness. Oh, well, God put sickness on us to try and teach us a lesson. Find that in scripture. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Oh, well, God puts poverty. Oh, well, God's not, you know, I don't know whether to be rich or poor. Okay, let me tell you about poverty. I've lived poverty in London, wearing secondhand clothes until I was 13. Not because I was posh and middle class and going into a nice secondhand shop because I'm all la-di-da. And no, broke. Poor. So poor, you couldn't even afford the O-R on the end of the word. We were just poor. Broke. Not just broke. Somebody said it like this way. Broke. You understand? Well, you put your card in the cash machine and the handcuffs come out and just like, bong. I mean, broke, broke, broke. My sister, I was thinking about this the other day, and on the inside, I was just reaching out to God because, you know, unless you know that God's a good God, unless you know that he favors you, things like that can mark you. If you're going to a church, because we used to be in the Catholic church, they say, oh yeah, well, poverty is a blessing from God. Hey, lying devil, lying devil. Bible says even a poor man's wisdom is despised. You have nothing if you're poor. I remember my sister, she had this play, Dance Macabre by Sanson. If you know the music, like it's a kind of a play act thing that the kids do where they dress up as skeletons and all that kind of stuff. And we couldn't afford... Listen to this now. We couldn't afford £4 for a leotard for my sister to do the play in, the school play. So she had to go there in a vest and like a shorts to do her play. And everybody else had a leotard. Now, you imagine how that marks you. Poverty is shameful. I remember the day that I decided I would prosper. What a great decision. I pray I've been a blessing to many people as a result of my prosperity. I just get that feeling I'm just going to get richer and richer. The Bible says that although he was what? Rich. Yet for our sakes, he became poor. Same sacrifice of the cross that paid for my healing, paid for my poverty. So you may as well take prosperity. And it's like, it can't be one of these decisions. Yeah, well, you know what? If it's going... You know, if God doesn't mind, no, God wants you, yes, God wants you. He doesn't want you greedy. Do you understand? There's a difference between being rich and being greedy, and the difference is a giving heart. The Bible says a good man out of the what? Good treasure deposited in his heart brings forth that which is good. So before God, it's all about motive. It's all about motive. Oh, may you become very rich, like your father Abraham. Yeah, Father, you remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons. I'm singing today, I don't know why. Spirit of Lawrence Tete came upon me probably. Many sons had Father Abraham, and you are one of them, and so am I. And let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Shandai. Hallelujah. There's decisions to be made in the house that you can decide right now. And if you're listening to my teaching and you've never made those decisions, just right now in your heart, just right now, even while I'm speaking, just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if anything that Pastor P is saying is from you, Lord God, I decide that I take it. If you're not sure whether it's from me or not, if you're not sure whether I'm speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then you need to read your Bible, because God's word is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what I've said and what's in God's word will line up, and you'll be blessed and you'll be prosperous and you'll be free from all manner of sickness. You see, these things are a fight, right? These things are a fight. Prosperity is a fight. I remember the first, I gave £1,000 into Michael Bassett's church back then in Victory in 91. And what happened? My tire deflated. Just you name it. I got a parking ticket. You know those guys? It's like, where do they come from, man? Any traffic wardens in the house, come and see me afterwards for instant deliverance. No, I'm kidding. But they appear out of nowhere. They're like bees. You know, they even dress in black and yellow, and they're like bees. And they'll come and, like, you know, and then there's the other guys, the Nasher lorries. You know the Nasher lorry that comes along and it just gnashes your car and takes it up. And that one is even more expensive. I don't know where they get this from. And this is the kind of thing that can come against you when you decide that you're going to prosper. When you decide, these quality decisions, things will come against you when you make them. The impossibility of the decision that the woman with the issue of blood made was right in front of her face continually, but she made it nonetheless. May you make your decisions for God in the mighty name of Jesus. I remember deciding that I would become an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's the other four. There's four blessings of the cross: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. And I remember the day that I decided I would become an ambassador for Jesus. Oh, yeah. Before King, I saw myself standing. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll cause your feet to tread upon the high places of the earth. In Isaiah, 58 or somewhere like that? Beautiful, beautiful scripture. And I remember that scripture sinking into my heart when I didn't even have the bus fare to get out of town. But I saw myself preaching to thousands of people. I saw myself standing before kings and chiefs and anointing them and praying for them and God answering my prayers. And you know, it's all come true. Every bit of it. Why? A decision. A decision. Touch your neighbor and tell him it's decision time. Touch your other neighbor and tell him it's decision time. Now, I want us to close out today. I want us to stand to our feet. And I want us to just, in the presence of his majesty, the presence of God has been all over this house this morning. It's so wonderful. I feel so at home. Just right now. Stand in the presence of the Lord. If you've never been saved from your sins and washed in the blood of Jesus, if you've never made that decision to be saved, make that decision right now. If you're watching by accident, by Periscope or Facebook Live, or if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening to the podcast and you've never made the decision to become saved, you've never decided, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, I want you to make that decision right now. The presence of the Lord is here in this place to back you in your decision. Sure, your friends will come after you trying to drag you down back into that party thing. Whatever obsession or oppression or depression that you've been having, that will try to come back on you. But your decision in the presence of God will be more powerful than any force that can come against you. If the devil could stop you in your decision, he would have stopped me in mine. And he would have stopped the woman with the issue of blood in hers. But once you make a decision, heaven will back you. That's the power of a decision. If you've been oppressed by sickness and you've never decided, I'm talking about decided, that you would be healed. You've never decided that sickness isn't for you. That it's not a 50-50. It's not some sort of, what do they say in other religions? It's not some sort of inshallah. If something happens, oh inshallah. If something doesn't happen, inshallah. No, it's not that kind of thing. This is a decision before heaven, a decision before God, a decision before His word. That He bore your griefs, that He carried your sorrows, that the chastisement necessary for you to obtain peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes, by His wounding, you are healed. If you've never made that decision, healing is mine. Healing is mine. I'm going to fight for it with everything in my body. I'm going to fight for it with everything in my Bible. I'm going to fight for it with everything in my character. Your mind, engage your mind, engage your will, engage your emotions into this fight. Ask the Holy Spirit if there's any anchor point of sickness. The Bible says that a curse without cause shall not alight. Some curses that manifest in sickness have a cause. There's a cause behind it. So you have to deal with the cause so that the curse can lift off. Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If I'd only known. Have to dig deep sometimes, particularly in the realm of sickness. The human heart is immensely deep, the Bible says. Deceptive above all things. We've got to stand before God and just get those decisions out. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, challenge me. If there's anything that I've been doing in my character, anything in my mind, anything in my heart, any bitterness, any grievance, any grief. Grief is a huge anchor to cancer. Virtually every case where I've dealt with the spirit of cancer, it has anchored itself in the body and the life of a person through grief. I break that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. I break that thing in Jesus' mighty name. Decide right now. Decide right now. Decide right now that you'll walk in divine health. You'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You won't eat junk. You won't fill your body full of nonsense, oils and carbs and fats and sugars until you're bursting. But you won't do it. You control any alcohol consumption. You keep your hand on the Word of God and control yourself. Moderation in all things. Decide right now that you'll be prosperous. You live by God's ways. You live by His laws, by His statutes, that you'll search them out in the Word of God, that you'll become the kind of person that God wants to be and bless financially, that you'll be like the Sea of Galilee and not like the Dead Sea. Both are fed by the same river, but one has an outlet, the other one kills everything that comes into it, that you'll be a flowing stream of wealth, that you'll be a prosperous person. You'll be a river of wealth in God's kingdom. You'll be a blessing to your neighbors. It won't be all about you, that it will be all about Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you've never decided to become an ambassador for Jesus, if you've never decided to involve yourself in His ministry, in His work, if you've never decided that you'll preach the gospel somewhere, be it in a mission to Abu Dhabi or a mission to Harrow, doesn't matter which. before God, what matters is that you see yourself as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let God take you somewhere with His word in your mouth and watch what He'll do. It's decision time in the house of God. And all God's people say, amen and amen.